As I said before, good morning and happy Resurrection Sunday to each of you. If you have your Bible today, I'd like you to open with me to the book of Matthew. We'll be right at the end of Matthew chapter 28, and we'll begin reading in verse 1. Matthew 28 and verse 1, and you might remember last week we looked at the crucifixion of Christ, about Him dying on the cross, and it was kind of a heavy message because it was a heavy topic, and the sermon and the whole service kind of ended on a down note last week because when we left, Jesus was in the grave. But the good news of the gospel is that even though He died on the cross, He was dead and He was buried, He didn't stay that way. He rose again, and He has conquered death and the grave, and we have sung about that several times this morning. I don't have any, sometimes you try and look at a text from a different angle or something like that. I don't want to do that today. Today I just want to look at the simple and plain record of the resurrection of Christ. Now, I say it's simple, and it is, but that doesn't mean that it's unimportant. In fact, the resurrection, the crucifixion and resurrection of Christ is not only the crux of Christianity. Without Christ, there would be no Christianity. Without His death on the cross and His resurrection. But really, the crucifixion and the resurrection is not just the crux of Christianity. It is the pinnacle of all of human history. All of the events of all of human history had led up to that moment at Jerusalem. It is the hinge on which the door of world history turns. And so what I want us to do is I want us to look at the resurrection of Christ and see what we can learn from it for today. So I know you just got to sit down, but if you're able to, I'd like you to stand in honor of God's Word. We'll pick up in verse 1 and read down to verse 10. It says, "Now after the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the grave. And behold, a severe earthquake had occurred, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. And His appearance was like lightning, and His clothes as white as snow. The guards shook for fear of Him and became like dead men. The angel said to the woman, 'Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who has been crucified. He is not here, for He has risen, just as He said. Come, see the place where He was lying.'" Excuse me. "Go quickly and tell His disciples that He has risen from the dead, and behold, He is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see Him. Behold, I have told you." And they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to report it to His disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and greeted them, and they came up and took hold of His feet and worshipped Him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and take word to My brethren to leave for Galilee, and there they will see Me." Thank you. You may be seated. So I want to draw your attention to today. The first is that the resurrection happened in history. The resurrection happened in history. Now, if you look back at verse 1, you'll see that Jesus is a flesh and blood character. I mean, this is without dispute in academia. I mean, even unbelieving scholars recognize that there was a Jesus of Nazareth. He was a flesh and blood man. He lived at a certain point in history, and therefore what happened to Him happened in history. Now, the Bible is not a book of myths. It's not Jesus is not a fable. It's not some cleverly designed, devised tales. Notice the language that's used here. It's very simple. It's very open. It not only it anchors this event of the resurrection in human history. It not only says this happened during the season of Passover, it goes down to the very day of the week that it happened. If you look back at verse 1, you'll see when it happened. It said, "When the Sabbath was over." Now, when did Sabbath start? Well, the Sabbath started on Friday evening at sundown, and it ended on Saturday evening at sundown. So after the Sabbath, so after Saturday night, and then it goes on to specify, this happened toward the dawn of the first day of the week. That's Sunday. That's why we worship on Sunday instead of Saturday. It's a recognition every week that we gather together. It's a recognition that Jesus rose from the grave, and He conquered death, and He conquered sin, and all the rest that was accomplished in His resurrection. And so early on Sunday morning, some women came to look at the grave. Now, Matthew only mentions two, but we know there were at least four because there was Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, which are mentioned here. There was Salome, and then there was also a lady named Joanna. We know that there were at least four women that went to the tomb. Matthew only mentions two by name, And he says, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. Now, when it says the other Mary, our minds naturally jump to Mary, the mother of Jesus. But that's not the Mary that is being talked about, because Mark 16 and Matthew 27 specify which Mary this is. There were several Marys in the Bible. And this Mary is the mother of James and Joseph. Not James and John, that's Salome. But anyway, so Mary Magdalene and the other Mary, they go to look at the tomb. And notice why they went. They did not go to welcome back Jesus. They did not go because they were sure that he was going to rise again. At this point, they didn't realize, they didn't believe that he was going to conquer sin and death and the grave and all those things, just like the guide disciples. They didn't believe that yet either. They went to, the Bible says, look at the tomb. The other gospel accounts of this talk about how they went to weep, they went to grieve, they went to mourn, they went to anoint his body and care for it. They didn't get a chance to do that the way they wanted to because Jesus died right before the Sabbath. And so they went to take care of the body of Jesus. They went to pay their last respects. This was an historical event. It happened in history. The next thing I want you to see is the testimony that we have of the angel. The testimony of the angel. So the women are going to the grave. They know where Jesus was buried because they were there whenever he was placed in the tomb. And they go to take care of the body. Now, a short time before they get there, an angel shows up. And we didn't read this last week. We talked about his crucifixion. We didn't read about his burial. We didn't read it this week, but just so you know, Jesus was taken down from the cross by his friends, and he was placed in a borrowed tomb. It was the tomb of a man named Joseph of Arimathea. He was a wealthy man. He had this brand new tomb carved out of stone. Nobody had ever lain in it before, and they put his body in there because it was nearby. It was convenient for him. And so they put his body in the tomb, and then the religious leaders thought that Jesus' followers might try some funny business. And they might try and sneak in during this this period soon after the crucifixion and steal his body and then go around and proclaim that Jesus did what he said, that he rose from the dead and all those things. And so they convinced Pilate, the Roman governor, to post a guard, a military guard, that would keep people from doing that. So there are these guards there, and they also put a large stone in front of the tomb. And so in other words, they were ensuring that there was no human way that Jesus was coming out of that grave. But thanks be to God that God is not constrained by human ability. He is not constrained by what's humanly possible. You'll notice verse 2 says that he sent down an angel. And when the angel arrived, a severe earthquake happened. And the word that's translated as earthquake can mean earthquake. Generally, it just means, in a broad sense, it means a commotion, a tempest. When the angel showed up, things got to cooking. I mean, there's no telling what all was going on, but there was at least an earthquake. The angel rolled the stone away, and he sat on it. Now, why did the angel roll that stone away? Did he roll the stone away to let Jesus out? The answer to that is no, because Jesus was not, in his resurrected body, he was not limited to having to go through doors and things like that like we are. He rolled the stone away to let the whole world see that tomb was empty. He rolled the stone away so that Jesus' friends as well as enemies could see that there was no body in that grave. Now see, we have to understand that grave on one day had a body in it. The next day that grave didn't have a body in it. What happened to that body? Well, the angel didn't remove it. The angel didn't resuscitate. This is not a resuscitation. It's not like Jesus swooned. This is a resurrection. All he did was he moved the stone away so that anybody could go in and see Jesus is no longer in the grave. And he's no longer in the grave because he rose just as he said. But it wasn't just his act that was significant. Look again at his appearance. Verse 3 says his appearance was like lightning and his clothing as white as snow. His clothes were pure white. Now, of course, that speaks to his holiness, but also speaks to his message. We don't do this as much today, but just a few years ago, it was very common. If you were in mourning and you were grieving the loss of a loved one, what color did you wear? Black. Now, can you imagine if the angel would have shown up wearing mourner's garments and said, Jesus is alive? It wouldn't have made any sense. His clothing matched his message. He wasn't there to lead the women in singing a funeral dirge. He was there to lead them in singing, Jesus is alive. So his act was significant, his appearance was significant, and also his announcement was significant. Look at his testimony in verses 5 and following. He says, don't be afraid. I know you're looking for the crucified one, but this is my Ozarkian summation. You're looking in the wrong place. You're barking up the wrong tree. Why are you here? Because you're looking for somebody that's dead. He ain't here. Why? Because he ain't dead. He is alive. He has risen just as he said. And listen, there are people today who are looking for a dead Jesus. There are people today who are looking for a Jesus that's one among many, that he is just another religious leader. He's on par with Muhammad. He's on par with Krishna. He's on par with all these different people. And he's just the same as them. But he's not the same as them, because Jesus is alive. They expect to find him among all the other religious leaders because they're all dead, but he's not with them because he ain't dead. In fact, Acts chapter 2 and verse 24 says that it was impossible for him to be held in death's power. Now listen, it's impossible for the leaders of the other world religions to not be held in death's power, but it's impossible for him to be held in death's power. Do you get the contrast? There is no way that an earthly religious leader could conquer death and the grave on his own. And there's no way that Jesus couldn't conquer death and grave on his own. He has life within himself. He has power within himself. There is no way that death could defeat him. Jesus is alive. He has risen just as he said. So we have the testimony of the angel. I want you to see next the testimony of the empty tomb. Look at the end of verse 6. The testimony of the angel was trustworthy enough. Does anybody remember Reading Rainbow? Now, I'm dating myself. I know some of you younger people don't know what Reading Rainbow is. Some of you do. With LeVar Burton. And LeVar Burton would give a book recommendation. It was a kid's show on PBS. And what would he say at the end? You don't have to take my word for it. Remember that? And then he'd have kids on that would talk about this story they'd read and so forth. So the angel says, this is what's happened, but you don't have to take my word for it. He was LeVar Burton before LeVar Burton. Look at verse 6. He says, you don't have to take my word for it. Look where he was. Look, it's past tense. This is where he was lying. He's not lying there anymore because he's risen. They saw with their own eyes the tomb was empty. And it's no less empty today than it was that first resurrection Sunday. Jesus didn't rise and then die again later. Jesus is alive forevermore. And I personally believe this is one of the biggest proofs of the resurrection, because the grave only had one person in it. And understand, back then the graves were like family graves. And they'd be like a cave or some room carved into stone, and they'd have these niches that they would carve into the walls. And what they'd do many times is they'd take the body and they'd lay it out on this platform, this table thing in there. And after it decomposed, and it was just the bones that was left, they would take what's called an ossuary. You may have heard that before. It's a stone box. And they take the bones of their loved one and put them in the ossuary and put that ossuary up in a niche. And sometimes they put the whole body up there. They do different ways. So it's not like they went in and they mistook which niche was his, because nobody had been in there before. It was only him. And so the grave had his body there at one point. It was occupied. And the next day, it's not occupied. How did that happen? Because the enemies of Christ, the enemies of Christianity at the time, they didn't deny it was empty. They just said it was empty because of this. It was empty because of that. It was because of the disciples, blah, 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 blah. They didn't deny it was empty. And we have to understand, an answer has to be given. How did that grave get to be empty? The only reasonable answer is that Jesus did just what he said, and he rose again. Now, they tried to explain it away. People tried to explain it, and they refused to believe. They say all kinds of nonsense. Jesus just swooned and he broke out of the grave and he overpowered the guards, even though he'd been nailed through his hands and his feet and he'd been beaten and crucified and all these things, and yet he still had enough power to overcome these Roman guards. In French, they call that baloney. And that is hogwash. That doesn't make any sense. Jesus rose from the grave. What happened to the body? He's not there. So we have the testimony of the angel. We have the testimony of the empty tomb. Finally, I want you to see the testimony of the women. The testimony of the women. The women get this dispatch from the angel. It says, go tell the disciples. They hightail it to do that. Then in verse 9, the women meet Jesus himself. Now, the empty tomb is a powerful proof of the resurrection, but at the end of the day, it's circumstantial. This is an eyewitness account. This is an eyewitness testimony that they saw Jesus with their own eyes. Now, people are going to reject that. People are going to refuse to believe it. But listen, just because something is amazing or outstanding or unique in history doesn't mean that it didn't happen. How many times have you ever seen something and you turned to somebody or you thought to yourself, if I didn't see that with my own eyes, I wouldn't have believed it. Now, just because it's unlikely, doesn't mean it doesn't happen. These women were eyewitnesses of the risen Christ. And they went and they testified that Jesus is alive. The disciples, the male disciples, they later saw Jesus themselves. And they testified that Jesus is alive. But beyond their eyewitness testimony, there's something significant here that points to this not being a fabricated story. And that is the fact that these are women. Understand, in that day and in that culture, women's testimonies were not accepted. They were thought to be unreliable. They were thought to be, you just couldn't count on them. So people didn't put stock in what women said when they testified about things. And if you were going to make up a story that you wanted everybody to believe, you're not going to have the first people to witness it be women. Because if nobody's going to listen to him, if nobody's going to believe him, why are you going to have them be the first people to see it? You're going to have a notable person. You're at least going to have somebody that can testify in a court of law. But that's not what we have here. Why? Because what's recorded is what happened. Male disciples, Peter and John and all the rest, they were scared. They were hiding out. They were afraid of the persecution that was coming. They'd just seen their Messiah, this person they put all their faith in. They had given up everything to come follow him. They'd just seen him crucified and dead and buried. And they were hiding. Now, these women didn't expect Jesus to rise from the dead either, but at least they were in the right place. Now, the fact that it was women that were there is a testimony, is proof, it's evidence that this is not made up. This is an historical fact. Jesus of Nazareth died on the cross and he rose from the dead. Again, it's not a fable, not a fairy tale. It's evidenced by the angel's testimony. It's evidenced by the empty tomb. We have eyewitnesses of these women. Later we read about the eyewitnesses of the male disciples. And I just want to tell you, you can believe the resurrection. Was it amazing? Absolutely. Was it unique in history? Yes. You say, well, it's just so astounding, it needs a lot of proof. And I agree. It was unique in history. But what do you expect? It was a singular event that the Son of God would die on the cross for sins. That's not something that happens every day. We should expect it to be out of the ordinary. Listen. The resurrection showed that Jesus accepted Jesus' death as payment for sin. Because if he didn't, Jesus would still be in the grave today. And the scripture says that because of what he did, because Jesus died on the cross and he rose again because of that, that you, if you will trust Christ for salvation, you too will live again. You too, if you will put your faith in Him, you will have your sins forgiven. God will take your sins and wash you white as snow. He will forgive you. He'll adopt you into His family. And He'll make you one of His own. Jesus died on the cross to provide salvation to all who would call on His name. All who would believe in Him. And today, if you've never done that, today is the day of salvation. The Bible says, don't harden your heart. If you hear His voice, don't harden your heart. But believe on the Lord Jesus and be saved. Now, many of us have done that. And listen, because Jesus conquered the grave, because Jesus conquered death, we too will one day conquer death and the grave. We too will be raised immortal, imperishable, and we too will go to heaven to live with God forever. Why don't you stand with me as musicians come? And as you stand, I ask you bow your heads and close your eyes. And with nobody looking around, I want to ask you first, have you believed on the Lord Jesus for salvation from sin? Has that ever happened to you? Not have you gone to church, not have you taken communion, not have you been baptized, not have you taught a class. Have you ever put your faith in Jesus Christ for salvation? If the answer to that is no, the Bible says that today, rightfully, justfully, you stand condemned because you've not believed on the Lord Jesus. The Bible says that God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. And the offer is open to all who would believe, to all who would put their faith in Christ. Christian, maybe you have somebody that's on your heart that doesn't know the Lord. Pray for them today. Because ultimately, Easter is not about family time. It's not about friends. It's not about eggs or bunnies or any of the rest. Easter is about Jesus. If you're a believer, you can hold on to the resurrection with a bulldog grip because it is an historical fact. You say, well, somebody, this person I respect a lot, doesn't believe it. Facts, truth, are not dependent on somebody's accepting. It is what it is. They can believe it or not. But the truth still stands. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank You that we don't worship a dead Savior. But we worship one who has conquered death and the grave, and He came to destroy the works of the devil. And we thank You that on the cross, when man had done his worst, that You had done Your best. And You took the evil desires of men as they crucified the Lord, and He used that to bring about sanctification and salvation of all who would believe on Christ. And if there's somebody who's never accepted Christ that's hearing me today, I pray that You would draw them to Yourself and convict them and let them become Your child. Lord, for those of us who are believers, I pray that You would strengthen our faith, that You'd help us to stand firm when all culture, all the things around us tell us otherwise. Lord, we thank You that, again, that Jesus rose from the dead and that one day we will too. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen.